Best worst case scenario podcast.
Welcome to Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast. If you're listening to this, it means you've made a grave mistake. 400 years ago, Countess Elizabeth Bathory kidnapped and killed hundreds of girls. What happened to them within the castle walls was so sadistic that all reports were banned from public record. Tonight, you will enter the Bathory estate and uncover the horrible truth that lie within. Remember to like and subscribe.
The previous intro was based on the 2006 horror film Stay Alive, directed by William Brent Bell. But anyway, should I like go into voice acting?
I think so many things, Dana. But the first thing I think is it's Halloween time around the time that Halloween takes place, and I'm so fucking ready for this episode.
You love Halloween?
I love Halloween.
You like trick-or-treating still?
I love the pumpkins. I can trick-or-treat because I'm small enough and I'm young enough looking that no one knows
that you're 28.
If I shave, I look like I'm 16.
You do. He's like a man child. He's gonna look like he's 22 until he's probably 80.
It's a curse and a blessing.
He's like a vampire.
Mostly a curse.
And he can go get candy anytime he wants on Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween, man. It's like the colors, the fall's coming. You know, you got that chill running down your spine, and you just want to like hear about messed up stuff. You want to hear about spooky stories and all the supernatural shit in the world.
Demented shit. It's such a cool time of year because you got the cold weather contrasted with warm colors.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, man. That's a very, like, color wheel artist way of saying.
Artistic way of talking.
Yeah, I like that. Warm colors, dark emotions.
Exactly. It's a time of letting go and also talking about really fucked up shit.
Yeah, and if you guys want to let go of your money, consider checking out our Patreon where you can become a member and help support this podcast magic happen.
Yeah, for $500 a month you can get access to all of our images and you know, bonus material
and nudie pics of Dana too.
Yeah, I'll wear costumes.
Yep,
anything you want,
anything, he'll do it.
I'll put it on.
And then the last thing I want to say is, if you want to keep up to date with all of the cool stuff we're doing and posting, check out our Instagram at BWCS Podcast.
Or X, also known as Twitter.
And with that being said, guys, welcome to this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
Halloween edition. This is your host, Mayan.
This is your host, Dana.
And we're here to take you guys on a wild, fun, dark, messed up ride.
Yeah, this is going to be like an adult haunted mansion ride. It's not going to be like your little kiddie ride.
Yeah.
That lasts 10 seconds and costs you $20. Like, get the fuck out of here. This is going to be a deep dive into some bloody waters.
Yeah, I think this one might take the cake for blood, for the blood cake.
That's red velvet.
The top of the shelf.
That's some tasty cake. Today, we are talking about Elizabeth Bathory, who was a Hungarian countess and maybe one of the most infamous serial killers in human history. Between the years 1590 and 1610, she allegedly kidnapped, tortured, and killed dozens, if not hundreds, of young women. In the end, Elizabeth was caught and convicted of up to 650 counts of murder. She was imprisoned within her own castle, while her four accomplices were tried and executed. Historians have debated that she was instead a victim of conspiracy, framed by the Hungarian king to seize her fortune and power. The truth may lie somewhere in between.
this is wild because here we have a serial killer that is a woman and she's of nobility and is filthy rich. It's like what you would think of as the last person to sort of do the types of things that she might have allegedly right. done.
Because usually if you got a serial killer on your hands, you want them to be poor as fuck because they can't afford a lot. They have to get creative and they're eventually going to get caught.
Hopefully. Yeah, like you can't afford to play games that other people play, like right. pool or spelunking. So you got to just settle for killing people.
But what makes her really creepy is, like you said, the nobility, the power, the amount of wealth she had was insane. So it's like, imagine like if Bruce Wayne was a serial killer, he would have gotten away with, if he was a villain, like he would have gotten away with so many murders.
Yeah. Bruce Bane, man. Bruce crazy, Bane. Crazy.
I'm going to trademark that and then like sell it to DC.
Yeah, you should. You should. If they had a baby, they would have named him Little Bruce Bane.
It's going to be a bald Batman. He's a bald little overweight. Like college humor Batman.
Yeah. So, like you're saying, this lady was born in 1560, August 7th, in a Hungarian territory.
In a Hungarian territory.
And what that pretty much means...
So she was hungry all the time.
All the time, man.
Hungry for blood.
And the only thing that would sate it is little women. I mean little girls.
See, was that after midgets?
That sounds weird.
After little people?
But...
I didn't know this.
What I'm trying to say is that Hungary, at the time that she was alive in the 1560s...
a minute ago.
Those roaring 60s, man. Yeah. Depending on which side you were on, whether you were against the Roman Empire or for it, could like dictate whether your family's gonna get murdered in the middle of the night. So there was a lot of things to be afraid about that went beyond just a crazy lady kidnapping kids.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think there's something weird about Hungary for it being so brutal and violent. Because even like since the 5th century, like, there's been invading countries trying to take it over. And there's so much blood on this land for some reason. So it's interesting that people wanted it so badly. Yeah. Because, like, what's on it?
It is very nice. It has a very nice scenery. Yeah, and
lots of young women.
You might like this, but...
Misha over here, coming from Russia.
I'm bringing Chernobyl back, man. But
that's a Justin Timberlake song.
Chicken's in the fridge and it has three heads.
Oh my god. There we go. Boom, boom, boom. On it.
But, like you're saying, during this time, the medieval era of ages, medieval yeah. ages.
The ages of no teepee.
You're right. Things were way more brutal and...
Wiping your butt with bark.
You guys have to know that while...
Eating dirt.
While some of the stuff might seem... extreme, the sort of punishments they dished out like candy on Halloween, these things were commonplace in medieval times because people, like, if you stole a loaf of bread, like, I'm sorry, that's your hand, I'm gonna chop that off along with your tongue in your ear. Well, you know,
it's yeah, it makes sense to deter a thief by taking off his hand because then he can't steal.
Yeah, it's a very, like, logical solution. Well, if the hand took the bread, let's just take that.
Well, see, if he steals again, then he loses his final hand.
And then he's stealing bread with his feet, and, you know.
No, he's not. He's just...
He might be.
He's grabbing stuff with his nubs. That's what he's doing.
His what?
His nubs.
Dana, this is a and family. This is a family comp.
And then they're taking podcast. Off his arms. He's an armless man.
Yeah.
With two legs.
And he's just putting it between his butt cheeks. God. Running okay, off.
Okay, let's move on from these poor peasants, man, that were treated brutal.
My point is, it was brutal back in the day.
It was.
And things that you would consider barbaric were commonplace. So keep that in mind, folks.
Yeah, think of the Red Queen from Alice in Wonderland. Off with his head! Yeah. Like, whatever her name is.
Yeah. Yeah, they willy-nilly took people's heads.
Yeah. So she was sort of related to a bunch of celebrities at the time. She was like the daughter of Baron George the Fourth.
Oh, shit.
Who's the highest ranking.
Baron George the Fifth.
I know. Everybody knows him.
Fuck.
he was the highest ranking official in Transylvania, and she was also the niece of the King of Poland and the Grand Duke of Lithuania. So she had a lot of royal blood in there.
Yeah, a lot of inbred blood too.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
And from a young age, Bathory experienced frequent seizures, likely due to undiagnosed epilepsy. Unfortunately, medical treatments were unorthodox and effective.
They were not effective.
They were ineffective as
fuck. You sure?
They were very ineffective, yeah. Like, one treatment involved rubbing blood from a non-sufferer onto the lips or gums of the person having seizures.
Yeah, and obviously there's so this easy train of thought there of like, well, if it worked one time, maybe that's why she murdered a bunch of people, because she need that blood on her lips to help her seizures.
Or maybe those doctors fucked her up by putting blood on her face, and she's like, I like the taste of this.
Yeah, that iron, yummy.
So growing up, Bathory is thought to have witnessed her, you know, family servants carrying out brutal beatings and torture as punishment to servants. As we were saying, it was pretty normal for the time.
Yeah, and in addition to being of among such noble, highly elite, affluent people, the place she was born in, Nyírbátor. Close enough. In Royal Hungary, it was a family estate, and the Eszed Castle was her home. So she grew up in this. This place was like massive, as you might guess, but it wasn't just one castle. It was like a series of a few.
So it was like Tokyo.
It was like a Tokyo of castles in Hungary.
Megatropolis.
That was on top of this rocky mountain. So her birthplace but and where she grew up and was educated was just like Harry Potter, man. She went to Hogwarts.
Yeah, Dark Warts.
Well, that didn't come out right, did it? Try again.
Evil Warts. I'm drinking Evil right now by Aslan Brewing, by the way. It's pretty fucking tasty.
It's pretty good. It's so smooth, and you know what?
I just love everything about it. The name Evil, and it's got this funny looking duck on the front with a scythe.
Nothing more evil than ducks, man.
It looks like
I'm not even kidding. Ducks are fucking evil.
It looks like Disney meets something else. Yeah.
And to top it off, they have a 6.66% alcohol percentage in there.
Yeah, so, it doesn't taste like it. It's good.
Yeah, you can tell we're really gunning for those beer sponsors.
Yeah, but back to, we were talking about how she grew up with witnessing her family's servants getting beaten and stuff, right? And on one occasion, supposedly, she began laughing at the sight of a man being sewn into the body of a horse. It was a punishment for him stealing.
I love how her laughing is the weird thing. Like, come on. That being carried out is so crazy.
Maybe it is. It makes sense to laugh at that kind
like,
of thing.
Like, you could poop your pants and that'd be a normal reaction to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just it sounds really nasty to me.
That'd probably be my reaction, because that's usually my reaction to scary stuff.
Yeah, being sewn into a dead animal to die.
Poop my pants.
No, thank you. So, unlike many girls, Elizabeth seemed to be drawn to violence at a young age. Being exposed to these macabre and violent scenes as a child, she may have influenced her deep interest in sadism later.
And what I was saying about them all being inbred, because they belong to such royal, affluent families, they tried to keep the lineages pure and clean. And so you were marrying your cousin Tommy. It was weird.
Inbreds.
It was weird.
Yeah. Well, when Elizabeth was 10 years old, supposedly quite beautiful, she became engaged to 15-year-old Hungarian Count Ferenc Nadasdy.
It's Ferenc Nadasdy. He was a snazzy man.
She married Ferenc at 14. Almost 5,000 people attended the wedding, which lasted for 3 days.
So pretty small, pretty intimate.
Pretty small party with 5,000 people.
Yeah,
that only
nice and quiet and
low
budget. Only
lasted for 3 days without any boomboxes going.
Only just 3 days?
Yeah.
What peasants.
Ferenc gave Elizabeth her own castle as a wedding gift. and it's called Chaz Titzau Castle and the little
called car- what Dana
Chaz Titzau.
I just wanted to hear you say
Cash,
it again.
Maybe it's Chaz Titzau. Somebody will
but the tits
me.
Are out is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's Chaz Titzau.
Chaz Titzau. Yeah, sounds like a wild place. And by all accounts, it was. So what's this castle like?
There were counts living there.
Anything about it, you know?
The castle in a place called the Little Carpathians, which is a low mountain range in western Slovakia.
Yeah, it's like, it's near the Carpathians, right? But it's like the little ones.
The little ones,
like
yeah.
The foothills.
It's like the side note, the footnote, whatever. But slightly in a mountainous area, and this castle looks pretty darn gothic and bleak, even for its time. Compared to the other castles in the area, it looked pretty gone.
Huh. You think a vampire lives there, Steve?
Yeah. Much of it still stands today. Well, I wouldn't say much of it. I would say part of it still stands today.
And some of it sits, you know?
And yeah, some of it sits down. And you could actually visit it and pay a fee to go tour it. And
wow.
go check
that
out.
That is something I would love to do next time I'm in the Carpathians.
That's exactly why I want to visit there. The only reason.
Let's do it, man. And if you guys have ever been here, which I don't know if you
Where?
Have, the Little Carpathian Mountain.
The Chaz Titzau.
The Chaz Titzau Castle. Please, please, please let us know in the comments. Tell us how it was.
Yeah.
So one thing about Elizabeth Bathory is you would expect her to be an only child because she was so fucked up, but
only child suck.
She actually had several siblings, including an older brother, Stephen, who was the judge, the royal judge of Hungary, which was like a chief justice. He dished out the justice.
On a platter.
On a silver platter, sometimes cold.
What was his name?
Stephen.
His name was Stephen?
I think it was probably like Stephen or Stephen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I believe you.
And she actually had a few other siblings. I think she had like four other well-documented. They thought she might have had a fifth sibling, but she had a decent amount of siblings. So that's not the reason she's messed
up. She had like
so
12 siblings.
I just want to tell all you only children
she
out there.
Came from a litter.
That you're not a serial killer. And I recognize that.
The serial killers today are the ones crushing their Fruit Loops. That's the only serial killer I want to hear about.
Okay. But what's interesting about Elizabeth is that not only did she get married at a young age, but maybe even before then, she may have had a kid out of wedlock.
Oh, shit.
And this is like the most scandalous thing.
Oh, yeah. This was before condoms, wasn't it? Oh shit,
this may get graphic, guys, but she was likely involved in a romance with a peasant boy kind of like
who was just 7 years old.
No, I'm sure he was an old creepy ass dude.
I bet he was older than her,
definitely. But once that happened, I think the family hushed it up. It came up later during her marriage with Ferenc Nadazdy. But
sounds like a nice cologne.
Yeah. What do you want, Ferenc Nadazdy?
Smells like blood and piss.
60% of the time. Works every time.
So what'd they do? They gave the baby away?
I think what they did was they sent the baby to Wallachia.
Wallachia.
Which is a place somewhere else than the place we're talking about. Mm. I think it might even be in Romania.
I would assume it's close to Slovakia. And I think that the boy was supposedly fucked up once Ferenc found out.
I did hear that.
Yeah. Ferenc may have found out that his wife had cheated on him with a peasant boy, and he became outraged. He found that peasant boy and he castrated him and then threw him to a pack of wild dogs.
Which
to
would
be consumed.
Which would honestly, I think, be a blessing after you're castrated. Like, just end it, man.
It probably wasn't that quick.
That's all I had.
A pack of dogs, man. They're not like lions. They're not going to take you out in 30
but
seconds.
But still, man, I'd be grateful. They're not grateful for those. You know what I
you
mean?
You sound like a peasant boy.
What I'm saying. Like, thank you, master.
Would you be grateful for a turnip too, man?
It was only a turnip.
Yeah, for the first few years after the marriage, which they got married when she was like 14 or something. I think they got engaged when she was 10, which is fucking crazy to think about.
It is.
A 10-year-old.
If you think you're behind in life, just remember Bathory was married.
She was,
and had a kid.
She
at
was
13.
Yeah, think about this.
You lazy piece of.
She was fucking engaged at 10, married at 14, and had her own castle gifted to her when she was 14 or 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Different times.
Different times. And another interesting thing is that the castle that he gifted her when they got married, it actually belonged to Rudolf II. Holy Roman.
You're going to say Rudolf Hitler.
Rudolf, not the reindeer.
Oh, not Rudolf Hitler. I got Rudolf confused with Adolf.
Man, you must be really bad at telling Christmas stories
Adolf.
To kids.
Adolf.
And then he enslaved all the Jews. Merry Christmas.
Adolf the red nose reindeer.
Had a very naughty plan. I don't know.
I don't want to say anything. It'll get us canceled.
I'm surprised we're not already. But anyways, Nadazhda bought the castle from him.
At a discount price.
Yes. He only had to do some things. But because Nadazhda was the chief commander of the Hungarian troops, he was gone at war a lot. So what happened was Elizabeth, his wife, had to rule the castle and its 17 adjacent villages while he was gone.
17?
17.
What the fudge? She's like 16 at this time or
yeah.
something. She's young.
Yeah, it's like it's a village for each year she has,
okay.
pretty much.
Well, her being a serial killer makes sense now to me. The amount of stress and pressures on this young girl, I would probably start killing too.
Maybe not in the way she did, but yeah. So they were at constant risk of invasion.
Take my stress out.
From the Ottoman Empire and whoever else wanted to come in there.
Yeah, the rulers of couches, right?
I'm almost embarrassed I got that one, Dana.
Ottoman, for those of you who don't know, is something you put your legs up on.
It's like a little chair.
It's a fancy name for a leg stool.
It's a little cushion that you can't sit on.
The Ottoman Empire, yeah, they had a lot of crazy deals going on. Yeah, that's crazy. She ran so much and she like had to learn quickly because after they got married, he had to go off to war and then she had to learn how to run the estates. And I think her husband, Ferenc, was known as a pretty vicious warrior who earned the nickname the Black Knight of Hungary.
Oh, shit.
His level of brutality on the battlefield shocked both his enemies and allies.
Like, whoa, man, chill out.
Like, whoa, you don't need to rip the spine out the ass now while he's still alive. Just let him die
first. This is just war, man.
Yeah.
What's your deal?
This was during the Long War when the Turks invaded Hungary in 1591. And the war didn't end until 1606. So it was a long war.
Yeah, he was probably just trying to end it fast, you know?
By creating some really graphic scenes to hopefully scare him away.
I heard that's what Vlad Tepes did.
Well, it's interesting you say Vlad Tepes, because supposedly there's rumors that Elizabeth Bathory inspired the Bram Stoker to write Dracula.
It makes sense. She had a castle in the Carpathian. Well, the little ones, but...
The little ones.
The little ones. She had a castle and like there's that blood component and it fits.
Yeah, even though there's no mention or reference from Bram Stoker saying he was inspired by Elizabeth Bathory, some people think he might have been inspired by it. So it's
just a big phony.
It's purely phony speculation. So the war, the Long War, this long ass war caused extreme financial decay within Hungary. And Elizabeth and Ferenc actually grew super wealthy during this time.
How?
From the, actually, so it's kind of weird because Ference was kind of like leading his troops and stuff. So they were just crushing Ottomans and shit because he was just brute. He was like the guy from Sleepy Hollow, Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Just
terrifying.
Yeah. So he would steal all their loot and treasure. And I guess they were getting rich from that. He was just taking out camps. Like,
send this chest home. Send that chest home.
So he was. They were getting rich from this war while all the peasants and everyone were starting to go hungry.
Yeah, I was going to make that joke earlier, but I was like, it's low-hanging fruit. You picked that fruit, and you threw it in my face.
It's poison fruit, and now I'm dead. So they got so wealthy that they were even able to lend money to the Hungarian Empire, keeping the country from falling into chaos. This couple kept the country rolling. And then also because of the war, neither her or her husband saw each other much, obviously. But when they did, it said they spent quality time together experimenting with torture and murdering young servant girls within the castle.
Ooh. And, you know, like when they saw each other, it's like, hey, honey, what you did today? Oh, I castrated a guy and fed him to some dogs. That's nice.
Oh, what's that shade of red lipstick you're wearing? Oh, it's not lipstick. It's just peasant's blood.
So you're thinking that maybe his brutality is what bled, pun intended, into her and made her the crazy, sadistic person she was.
No, I think she was already kind of sadistic from a young age, seeing what she saw from her own upbringing before she even met her husband. And then once they got together, he was even more...
It was like a Bonnie and Clyde.
Pretty much. In a serial killer kind of way. But he was more brutal in a, I think, a different kind of way, like fighting the enemy. But he did, I think, influence her to be more fucked up, for sure.
You can't slap him, you gotta stab him. What are you doing?
This is like a match made in heaven. Or hell,
I mean. Hell, man, definitely. Not hell. Heaven. Not heaven. Far away from heaven.
That's this match. Slip of the tongue there. It's the evil talking.
They had a good run doing their Bonnie and Clyde thing, but in 1604, Nadazhda died. He died from a disease that also caused debilitating pain in his legs.
Yeah, I think he had paralysis.
Yeah, but even by this point, 2 years had already gone by with strange disappearances from around like neighboring villages. And what the rumor said is that
Bathory was taking baths in girls' blood.
Yes.
Pretty much what the rumors were.
Some of them, yes. The rumors were pretty much as wild as you could imagine, but a lot of them had grounding in truth.
But yeah, you're right that the girls did start disappearing and supposedly made her more sadistic after his death, which is debatable. I mean, a lot of this is. But it kind of makes sense in a way because she lost her lover, so it kind of made her lost and angry, I would imagine. And so her hobby turned into a full-time job of torture and murder. She wasn't alone in this. She had accomplices that would begin kidnapping and helping her torture these young girls in the surrounding area around the castle.
I want to rewind a little bit because if you guys are listening, you might be thinking, like, how did she get access to these girls? But the thing about Elizabeth Bathory is she made what's called a gynecium. Which, if you know what the word gynecologist means, you might guess where I'm going with this.
I thought that read as gymnasium.
Nope, totally different.
I thought they were playing sports.
Gynecium is this word for a school for women to go, or more like an inner quarter for women. But what it came to be known as is this place where women would go and they would learn skills and ways of portraying themselves, like etiquette, so that they could attract a favorable husband. It was like the game for women, you know, like they'd go there, they'd learn how to be all feminine, seductive, learn how to sew, learn how to be a lady.
Are you talking about the finishing school that she made?
The gynecium is what it's called.
But is that like kind of the same thing?
Perhaps, but
it's this, where you were finished.
For real. Because this school, it would attract people from all over Hungary and maybe even further, because they would want to go to this Hogwarts looking school and learn how to be a babe.
A proper woman.
Yeah. But the thing was,
don't you want to know?
Once you got there,
how to be?
Then the abuse started. Then the disappearances happened, and it just really escalated.
It did. But I'd say prior to the school, her making the school, though, she did kill quite a few servants.
In the immediate area, but eventually she ran out of them, and she's right.
But supposedly she went through 400 servants.
That's a lot of
women servants, man. Like, I guess they just don't have a good mortality rate there, huh?
It's a dangerous job being a servant.
It is. But the school, I think, was sort of her falling point, where she sort of started to fuck up because she was getting nobility and daughters of really high-ranking officials in there.
Yeah.
And making those girls disappear was a really stupid fucking move by her.
You dumbass. Elizabeth, come on. Because before then, it's like you're saying, these not slaves, but pretty much slaves, these servants were lower class nobility, or lower class gentry, you might call them.
Yeah. And even before the school, like, I'm surprised that these families sent their prestigious or precious daughters to her, despite the rumors about her, because I think there were some rumors at the time from the peasants being killed and the servants. Like, the families that questioned or accused Bathory were just silenced or ignored.
She kind of just ignored it. And the
because she had so much fucking power.
The fucked up thing is that for a long time, this worked. For like 2 years it worked. But then in 1604... the minister István Magyari,
the same year as her husband's death.
Yeah. He made complaints against her, both publicly and at a court in Vienna. And it took a long time. It took until 1610 until Matthias II assigned Jurgi Tursu.
Isn't it Matthias?
It's Matthias.
He's really good at math.
I don't know. It's probably Matthias. But he assigned Jurgi Tursu, the Palatine of Hungary, to look into it and to investigate and be like, what's going on here?
It's Jurgi Tursu.
It's Jurgi.
In American.
Tursu. And that guy, Jurgi, he ordered two notaries to collect evidence. And by March 1610... that's when he had ordered them. By October 1610, they had collected over 52 witness statements. Only a year later, that number had risen to over 300. So if anyone is going to come in here and be like, Elizabeth Bathory was a hit job, she wasn't guilty, like, that's possible, definitely possible, but just the sheer amount of witnesses and complaints by people.
I think it was like 306 witness accounts.
It's a lot of paid people.
That's a lot of paid people that I assume the king wouldn't want to pay that many people to speak up. I would say pay like 20, 30, 40 people max. And I just want to talk about the servant girls real quick. Like, sort of what they went through with her, with Elizabeth.
Oh gosh, I need to steal myself, so, Dana.
Viewer discretion is advised. So these servant girls that she kind of experimented with before she went on to the nobility girls, they were severely punished for making simple mistakes. And Elizabeth enjoyed devising punishments depending on their error. So one example is, if a servant messed up a stitch while sewing, then she would yell and slap the servant girl. And it would escalate, and then she would start stabbing her with the needle repeatedly. And sometimes in this, like, bloodlust, that wouldn't be enough for her, so she would have her accomplices bring her down to the torture chamber where she would meet her gruesome, drawn-out fucking end. Usually her accomplices did the dirty work, which kind of shows you how much of a bitch Elizabeth was. She is thought to have experimented with a wide range of torture techniques, but had a particular preference for the use of needles and shears and pinchers. Witnesses described seeing the corpses of victims with clear signs of torture buried in graveyards or unmarked plots.
So because they tried to dispose of these bodies in very not so clever ways, it got around. And for a while, all of these disappearances, like they said really outlandish things like, oh, there's a disease going around and people are dying. But then the priest would be like, well, where are the bodies?
She's
like,
making excuses.
Like, we aren't seeing any diseased bodies. And then when they...
You're lying, bitch.
When they did happen to find the bodies, it was clear that, holy shit, this body was, you know, messed up. So
There are signs.
It could only go on so long that she could hide behind stuff and excuses. Another interesting thing about her that you can kind of see in the folklore about her that's been made since,
like Stay Alive 2006.
We'll get to that. Is that she was said to bathe in the blood of her victims and to think that it was a youth preserving ritual for her.
That sounds like a great bath bomb, doesn't it?
No.
The Elizabeth Bathory blood bomb.
Not
just
at all.
Turns the water red and just makes your skin all youthful.
The Bathory bomb. And also, if you guys have an iota of curiosity or you're just fascinated
don't
by...
Don't make up words.
But they're not made up just because you don't know them, man. But if you want to like...
Ray Liotta.
If you want to look at some more content about Elizabeth... There is a movie called Stay Alive that Dana mentioned.
Stay Alive!
Is it 2006?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. The thing that's so cool about it is they mix this legend of Elizabeth Bathory with video games. And they create this hybrid virtual reality that is just so fucking cool.
It was super fucking like cutting edge for the time too. 2006. I saw this movie in theaters.
Wow, man. You and old motherfucker.
I'm an old fuck, yeah. So this movie's got a special place in my heart because I saw it in theaters, and also I used to be a big gamer, not like a fat gamer.
But also a fat gamer.
Actually,
you're just big in the whole sense of the word.
I used to be a fat gamer who loved gaming. I was a big gamer.
Yeah.
So when I saw this movie about a game that would kill you if you played it, it was just so fucking cool to me. And at the time, 2006, like the graphics that they had in this movie, they're still good for the game. And I just wish they would make a real game today for it.
Yeah.
That would be so sick. It would be like The Ring meets a game.
I was just going to say, it's very Ring-esque where it's like there's this movie that if you watch it, you die. There's a game. If you play it, you die.
What you happens know, to you in the
there's
game?
There's all these things that if you do, you die. So
yeah.
The 2000s were a great time for film.
For everything.
Yeah, man.
And then smartphones fucked everything up.
So check that out.
Yeah, if you're down for like a horror movie that's fun and you're into gaming at all, check out Stay Alive.
Yep. Back to the lady in question.
Yeah, fast forward to 1609. Elizabeth Bathory switched her focus to noble women, like we said earlier, and started this finishing school for aristocratic families, blah, blah, blah. Basically... Long story short, after she killed quite a few of these noble girls, the parents started inquiring why, and she was making up lies, like Mayan said they were committing suicide or running away from the castle. They're like, no, our daughter would never fucking do that. She loves us. So that starts the investigation with Georgi Thurzo. He was pretty much a prime minister in terms of status. Like, this guy was the highest ranked dude next to the king. He was a second-hand man. He's the lead investigator of this whole kerfunkel. So the 300 witness statements, eventually he collected over time. And then on December, the year 1610, Thurzo decided he had enough evidence to arrest Elizabeth.
Put her away for good.
On New Year's Eve, Thurzo arrived at the castle with a squad of armed men to detain her. According to this claim, him and his men noticed a mutilated body of a young girl at the entrance. Two more were found inside. The sounds of screaming led Thurzo and his men down to the torture chamber, where they discovered her accomplices carrying out their dirty work.
Well, I got a few problems with this picture you just painted. One is that I read an article that was talking about the actual case reports that were made, and it said that she was actually at dinner with friends when he got there.
So bullshit. So
first of all, we have this inconsistency where Yurgi says, I got there, there were bodies everywhere, they were screaming, and then I just happened to find this torture chamber.
And they were torturing
somebody. They were torturing right there, and she's caught red-handed. And it almost seems too easy to be believed that he just got there when it was torture time, you know?
Every minute was torture time, man. She had a full-time job.
So it's much more likely in my mind that she was at a dinner with friends. They walk in with their squad and she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, you're getting arrested. Whether or not he found evidence after that fact, that's debatable. But first of all, that's our first inconsistency where it starts to point to this thing of like, was Elizabeth Bathory framed?
Okay, well, I got something to counter your counter.
Oh, shit.
Did you hear that Thurzo and King Matthias actually had visited the castle prior to this? It was sort of during the investigation, but it wasn't official yet. They both visited the castle, and Elizabeth knew they were visiting. They were there for dinner.
So these were announced rather than
it was an announced visit.
Okay.
Thurzo and the king. And supposedly they had like cake or something. And shortly after, while they were eating, Thurzo and the king started feeling like sick and almost like they were poisoned. And they left the castle immediately after eating because they were feeling sick because they thought Elizabeth was trying to poison them. But this could be more propaganda by fucking Thurzo and the king.
She fed me some cake and it made my tummy ache.
I thought it was red velvet, but it was just a bloody cake.
So that's my first problem. Second problem is that there were so many things to gain for the people convicting her. So the people involved, I think it was Matthias II, he owed a huge debt. It was either him or someone closely like tied to him.
Yeah, because Elizabeth and Ferris were fucking raking in the dough.
Right. They owed a huge debt to that family.
The Bathory family.
Right. So once Elizabeth was convicted of a crime so heinous as the one she did, his debt was wiped clear. So that's another reason, another motive for why you would want to frame someone for this.
Yeah. If I got a big debt, fuck you, man. I'm framing you. I don't owe you anything anymore. You kill a bunch of girls, man.
Exactly. Wipes the slate. And another thing is that even though they said there were a lot of complaints, when you actually look at the historical documents, there aren't any actual records from the people who complained. So they're thinking that maybe these complaints they're talking about were made up because they didn't find the actual letters of the people saying, hey, my daughter's gone. I'm really pissed off. We need justice here.
So you're saying they're like made up accounts or made up reports?
Possibly. Or, possibly by Thurzo.
By the government, pretty much.
Yeah.
At the time.
To seize her property.
See, this is another reason why the government sucks. They'll fuck you over in the end.
And then the last thing that I want to say that reading through these articles was that the thing that kind of made me wonder was that they said verifiably it was around 50 to 60 people who went missing.
Yeah.
Like verifiably. Whereas in Yurgi's report, he said that 650 people went missing. And you could say like, oh, these were from poor families, like maybe they didn't have good record keeping for them or what have you, but it is a very big difference between 50 to 60 and 650. So,
well, it is a huge spread. Like, Thanksgiving is coming up pretty soon. I hope you have a huge spread. 650 counts, that was mentioned by, I believe, one witness who saw, I think she might have been a survivor. She saw somewhere in the castle, like a diary from Elizabeth Bathory, and it had like a list of names, and somehow she was able to tell that the last name was like 650, the amount of names on there. And she was like, that's weird.
That was one witness's report.
Right. So that's why it varies so much. But minimum, if the minimum is 80, that's still quite
still a lot. You're right. It and is. Just to continue to play the devil's advocate.
Please.
Somebody has to. The servants that supposedly helped her commit these atrocities. So a lot of them had really harsh sentences because they weren't like high nobility like her. So when they were questioned, the method of questioning was actually torture in this day and age. So they would torture people to try to find out if they were torturing other people.
Yeah.
So these four servants that committed these crimes admitted to it under duress and under torture. But that's no longer valid today. Like, if you get a confession under means of torture, it's not valid because people will say whatever when they're being tortured. Just to get it to stop.
Yeah, and you're right. It does make this whole thing sort of flip-floppy that they were able to torture them into confessions, but at the same time...
Do you know what they did to those servants, too?
I do, yeah.
Tell the people what they did to these servants.
So the servants, all four confessed under torture. The youngest, Janosch Ujvari, was beheaded. He was the youngest, so he was sort of spared in a way by a quick end. The two others, Ilona Joe and Dorodia, I'm going to call her Dorito Sentes, had their fingers torn off with hot pinchers. And then they were burned alive.
Damn.
The fourth one.
Spicy Doritos there.
The fourth one. Yeah, I know. The fourth one, Erzi Majerova, was burned alive as well. But for some reason, they spared her fingers. The last time Georgi Thurzo, visited Bathory, she was locked up in her dungeon. And she had been there for 4 years in house arrest. When he visited her, she aggressively went on like this fucking spiel, like this tirade, and just spewed a bunch of hate towards him. And Thurzo interrupted her during this roast. He said to her, "You are in the last months of your life. You do not deserve to breathe the air on the earth or see the light of the Lord. You shall disappear from this world and shall never reappear in it again. As the shadows envelop you, may you find time to repent your bestial life." And then he left.
Damn, that's like a medieval roast if I ever heard one, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then she never said another word.
Also, that's an interesting point. Initially, when Yurgi, arrested her, they were going to just send her to a nunnery. But once all the witnesses were, compiled and the servants admitted what they had done, and the public found out about it, that's kind of the main thing, is the public learned who had done this shit. Once that happened, they were like, "Oh, we can't just send her to a nunnery. We gotta."
She's gonna fuck up the nunnery. Have you ever seen The Nun? It's fucked up.
It's too easy, and the people know it.
James Wan.
And we know it. So they decided to put her under house arrest for the rest of her life. But she's still in a castle. She still has servants. She still has food. Like, honestly,
You know what? No, that's speculated.
Big whoop.
That speculated right there, what you just said.
It's all speculated.
No, fuck you. Fuck you, man. This is all real. No, the house arrest thing that they had her, I think the more likely thing was that, or not the more likely thing, but the more like reported and maybe factual thing was that.
And maybe factual.
Yeah. What do you call that? Bullshit?
Yeah.
Was that she was confined within the dungeon of the castle, which is a big space in itself. And there was always a guard there to give her food or help her, but couldn't really let her out of the dungeon.
Hmm.
But she was found dead in August 1614. Apparently, the night before she died, she was complaining to the guard that her hands were cold and she was feeling off. And the guard told her to just go lay down and get some rest. And she never woke up.
Amen.
And that is an easy way to go, if you ask me, for someone so evil.
Yeah.
Or misunderstood, potentially. It's which way you go?
It's pretty crazy, no matter how you chop it up, because
that's a bad way. Stitch it up.
Bad phrase to use, but even if you're saying, like, even if the low end of the estimates are real, she was still a mass serial killer. And it's no wonder that all of these stories in media today draw on her legend, you know, in other movies and in literature, because this lady living in a castle alone committing terrible crimes is just like, it feels like it's something that happened, doesn't it?
It seems like something that could have happened, and that's why I don't completely discount it, because I don't discount the Countess, man. She could have gotten away with this if she wanted to, just like some politicians and dictators of today get away with shit. I want to believe that she was innocent, but part of me thinks that I feel like the truth is somewhere in between. I don't think that she killed 650 girls, but I don't think that she also
was innocent.
Yes. I think that she saw enough violence and fuckery when she was young to probably experiment with torture and stuff, and maybe justified it as experimenting torture for the Ottomans or something in her mind, like how to take care of the Ottomans and just dial it down with her own peasants.
Dude, it sounds like such a good AHS season, you know, like the Bathory season, where it's just like all on this estate in this castle, and you got Bathory doing her like dark shit and all these different characters.
God,
dude, let's hit them up.
AHS, yeah.
American Horror Story.
Or hey Netflix, yeah. You need to make an Elizabeth Bathory series, yeah, and draw it out for like 5 or 6 seasons.
For Halloween.
About this countess who
do
just,
it for the people.
Who rules tons of land and castles and estates, and she's also a serial killer, but she's royal and nice to certain people.
Yeah. No, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys listening were a little bit terrified. Maybe disturbed, maybe tickled by this. I don't know what you were, but I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, before we wrap this up completely, she was buried in cash tits out, but locals protested, and so her remains were moved.
As
to the,
I would do. Get that body out of my church.
They were
get it out.
Moved to the Bathory Crypt. Supposedly, her tomb was opened in 1955, but her body was nowhere to be seen.
It's because she's still out there killing people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's what makes the movie so good, because her body wasn't found in the crypt.
So watch yourself. Yeah. Elizabeth might be out there.
Yeah, she might be thinking about turning you into a bath bomb.
Yeah. So chew on that enigma, that mystery. Where is Elizabeth? We don't know.
This was mystery and history.
She's probably dead, but
that's what we do best. It's mystery and history.
Yeah. So this has been a best worst case scenario podcast episode.
BWCS.
Thank you guys for listening. And we just want to wish you guys happy Halloween. We hope it's a fun, spooky time for y'all.
Yeah. We hope you go trick or treating no matter how old you are.
Just throw yourself a bag over your head. No one will know.
Put a sheet over your head. Hide your age. Say you're a ghost. You know, Or don't say you're a ghost. Just go knock on doors as a ghost.
Don't say anything.
Get some candy, man.
Even don't show your mustache.
Even if you're 50 or 60 years old. Yeah. You know? Go get some free fucking candy.
Who's going to stop?
It's America.
Not us. Land of the free candy.
And if you're feeling bold, dress up as Elizabeth Bathory.
There you
Blood
go.
Count.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
Good night.